Welcome to the Risk Course, Relationship, Intimacy, Sex, and Communication, the essential 7-week online course for lasting love and sex breakthroughs with relationship experts Christian Peterson and Sonica Tinker, brought to you by the Mankind Project USA.
All right, everybody, welcome. Big welcome to the third session of the Risk Course, the true source of your upset. Sonica and Christian here. Big welcome to our living room. We're thrilled that you joined us. And we are going to have a lovely time here with this material. I'll just say before we jump right in, I'll just tell you what we'll be teaching you in this session, and the model we'll be teaching you has been an absolute pivotal game changer in my life. It's one of the chief reasons why I have become good at, in all modesty, not getting triggered by other people, getting some control over my emotions and moods, and having some say-so in how I feel and how I react. It's been a real freedom maker.
It's also really allowed us to eradicate blame and criticism in our relationship. It's you'll see as we go through the session, it allows you to take responsibility in a way you maybe never have before and create new openings and possibilities for how to feel better in your relationship.
Yes, and for today's, for this session, session number 3, if you don't already, definitely get yourself a sheet of paper or a pad and a pen, or somehow you can take notes. And if you're doing this as a couple, make sure you have each your way of taking notes, because you're going to need to do your separate things here as we go along. We're really excited to be with you, and we're really excited about this session. So let's just jump right in.
Well, we're going to do a quick, brief recap here of what we've done so far. So last week, we actually talked about and explored making a distinction between, actually it was the first session, so let me just slow down here a little bit. So in the first session, we explored making a distinction between our potentiality and our actuality, right? Or you could say our essence and our behaviors. And we discussed the power of our words in the creation process and discussed how we can reinforce what we want to see by looking for opportunities to speak what we want to see into existence, right? So we talked about looking for what you want to see and expressing appreciation for it. And also we talked about committing to see and reinforce and feed you and your partner's full potential. So we actually want to start with that here during this session, is give you a moment to, if you're doing this with a partner, make eye contact with your partner and just express a couple of full potential appreciations.
Just like we have on the screen here, you are.
So just say a couple of you are's to your partner. We'll give you about a minute each. We'll tell you when to switch. So go ahead and do that now. And if you're doing this by yourself, go ahead and close your eyes and just express out loud appreciation for yourself. All right, go on ahead. We'll tell you when to switch.
All right, that's about halftime. Person who was listening, say thank you for saying that. And then go ahead and switch roles. Other person, you are amazing. You are beautiful. You are wise. You are kind. Second person, your turn. Go ahead. All right, start wrapping up your appreciations. And person who's been listening, go ahead and say, thank you so much for saying that. Everybody take a deep breath. And we're having you start with this because basically we want you to be able to drop into that anytime. Look at full potential, speak it. So that was from the first session. From our second session, in the second session, we spoke about how to move as quickly as possible from complaint and reaction to creating what you want. We said that the only reason we ever want anything from our partner or want our partner to change is because we're hoping to have a certain feeling experience if they do that thing, whatever the thing is. So we invited you to turn your don't wants as quickly as possible into do wants, and then drop below the form of your desire to discover the possible, the positive feeling that you're wanting underneath. And you might remember, it's always a positive feeling. It's never something negative. From there, we encourage you to ask this question. If I were feeling whatever your thing is, connected, free, relaxed, right now, what could I do? What could I say? And then the first thing that pops to mind, you actually take that action right now from the desired state.
Yeah, hopefully you had an opportunity to practice that this last week. And remember why we do this, because it's because trying to get our partners to do something so we can feel a certain way, it doesn't work. It's never worked. It's never going to work, right? It's that complaining for change strategy that we spoke about. It not only doesn't work, but it makes things worse. Yeah. So instead, we need to become the ones in our relationship who really take the initiative to bring to the party what we want. Because if we are both kind of waiting for the other person to provide what we want, right, as we spoke about in the last class, it's a little bit like both of us going to a potluck expecting to feast, only nobody's bringing food, right? So if you want more intimacy between you, a really great way to do that is to be intimate yourself. And one way to do that is living in the question, right? If I were intimate right now, what would I do? What would I say? If you want more attention or more acknowledgement, then you want to be the one bringing attention and acknowledgement, right? Why do I want that? Because I would feel really loved. If I were loved right now, if I were loving right now, how would I be? What would I do? Living in the question really allows you to become what you are wanting. And from there, you can kind of slide out of wanting into having more of what you really want. And you also really create a different environment so your partner can respond differently to you.
Yes. So that's so much for review. Now let's focus on today's session number three, the true source of upset, we call it.
Which is going to build perfectly on what we've done up until this point.
Yes, and also I want to say it's going to lay the foundation for where we're going. In the next session, we're going to begin to dive into your actual conflicts and show you a model for how you take actual conflicts and begin to work out actual practical solutions. This piece we're going to share with you today is like the final piece of foundation that will allow you to successfully do that. So we're going to take some time today to talk about what to do when what we're experiencing in our relationship is not what we want. It's inconsistent with the vision of where we're headed and what we want to create in our relationship. What to do with our complaints, our bad feelings, our hunches, our resentments, our stories about our partners and relationship that appear grounded and get reinforced every day. So we're going to begin with actually demonstrating a little in our action here between us, and we're going to use that to build on for today's session.
So we're going to do a little pretend fight here. Honey, here, I'm hey, so hey, excited hey. To be with you. I really want to connect.
Hi, honey.
Honey.
That's great.
I want to be with you.
All right. I'm kind of busy right now. So, I mean, this
honey,
is...
Honey, I want to be with you.
I hear you, but just not right now, okay? Just not right now. I got something pretty important cooking here, so just let me do that,
yeah,
all right?
Totally
and
fine.
Just let me
yeah.
do that,
no,
okay? We can maybe do it later.
Freaking phone.
It's not that.
Yeah.
It's just not now, all right?
fine. All right, cool.
All right. So much for demonstration.
How many times have we gone through scenarios like that in our own relationship, right? Where one of us wants something and one of us wants something else, and we end up in a little tiff. Instead of having the connection we want, we end up in a fight. So we're going to work this through here in this model, and so stay with us as we do that.
So we're going to speculate now about what do you think is going on for the woman, Sonika's role, and what do you think is going on for the man, my role. And here we've listed it in advance for you here. So these are actually demonstrations we have done with live audiences, and these are what you're going to be seeing on the screen are speculations and guesses from real people, just like you. So we're going to start with him. What might we guess is going on for him?
That's having him behave that way.
He's angry about something. He's doing something really important.
He's a really bad listener.
He's a bad listener.
He doesn't care about his partner, obviously, right?
He hates being interrupted. He likes his phone a lot more than he likes his wife.
He's a little dense.
He's dense, period.
Doesn't have his priorities straight.
I know. He's playing Candy Crush, and he's kind of addicted to playing stuff like that on his phone.
He has a problem with intimacy, and he's actually avoiding it.
He's being flat-out dishonest, not telling the truth about what he's doing.
Or maybe he's texting his mistress, right? His other lover, somebody he's having an affair with, and he's trying to get all that off of his phone so she won't see it.
Yeah.
All right, so a lot of possibilities about what might be going on.
And trust me, there's a lot more we've heard. This is a selection. All right, so what might be going on for her? She's maybe feeling depleted.
She's definitely impatient, right? And she's maybe interrupting, thoughtless.
Yeah, she's angry about other stuff and it's just coming out here.
She's looking for any excuse to nag him. Really, she's not very happy with him, and this is just the next thing.
Yeah. Really, she just wants to be heard. She's just trying to get heard.
She has something really important she wants to share that really can't wait.
She just has no respect for this man. She doesn't give him his time. She just flat out doesn't respect him.
She knows he's just goofing off, and he's not doing anything serious. He's never doing anything really serious.
She's sick of him. She wants a divorce, period.
She's trying to tell him she got him tickets for his favorite basketball game.
Yeah. How about that?
All right, so these are all kinds of possibilities about what might be going on for these two. So for this next piece, take out your piece of paper. And couples, again, we want to make sure you have your own piece of paper. And we want you to write at the top of your paper these two words. Stimulus, response.
An arrow in between, just like that.
Now, this is a very widely accepted model, behavioral model, that we are all accustomed to. Most of us have heard about it. And we actually live in the stimulus model when it comes to relationship. It actually forms the basis of this Cartesian reality that we were talking about in our first class session. It's the basis of our scientific model as well, and certainly reflects our relationship experience.
Yeah, and I'd say this is probably still the most widely recognized model for human behavior, or animal behavior. It's the same thing that happened with the Pavlovian dogs. There's a stimulus and a response. They salivate, and that is why I think it's still the most recognized model. Is that is how we experience life.
Right, I'm kind of going along, minding my own business, and then all of a sudden you say something or do something that I'm now feeling really hurt by or really angry about.
Yeah, in this case here, I'm just sitting here doing whatever I'm doing, and my stimulus is that you come in and start talking to me. Until that point, I was perfectly happy in my own little world, until the stimulus of you talking in my ear, and then I have a response, which we'll go into in more detail, but it wasn't a very favorable one necessarily.
Right, and my stimulus in this moment is him looking at his phone, right, saying, no, not now, I'm not having a conversation with you right now. My response is being pissed off.
Yeah, And here in out in the world where you might have heard this in psychology, and in, it's called stimulus response. Although we like to take scratch the response portion and simply call it reaction instead, because mostly if what when we have an interaction like this, my reaction is more a reaction than a response. A reaction is more of an, it feels like an automatic thing. Knee jerk is a reaction, you know, when you hit your knee, clunk. So
it's not necessarily we put a lot of thought into having a thoughtful response to.
Exactly.
Now, in this model, in the stimulus reaction model, I'm this innocent victim, right? As we've kind of said already, right? I'm kind of marching along, minding my own business, and all of a sudden you say something and now I'm pissed off. So in this model, it looks like what's producing my reaction, what's producing my feeling of anger and upset is the stimulus. So in this model of human behavior, the only way for me to feel better, the only way for me to not feel mad is to change the stimulus, right? I have to get you to quit saying, no, I'm not going to do that with you right now, in order for me to get the connection I want and in order for me to not be mad.
It's like an equation, and the variable here is the stimulus.
And that's what fuels our complaining for change model. Because we're really trying to control the stimulus, right? Our partner, our kids, our friends, those outside events, so we can feel good again. Remember that from our last class, right? We're just trying to feel good. We're just trying to get to some positive experience from our efforts. But there's something else going on here too. So we're going to continue on with this.
Right. So we're going to show you there are two components to any reaction. One is emotional, and one is behavioral, all right? For the emotional responses, reactions, we recommend you use one of these four feeling words that you see on the screen here. Angry, sad, hurt, scared. And we're gonna explain why in a moment. And for your behavioral reaction, you know, it's something you do. Examples could be yelling, which is a version of fight. Could be walking away, which is a version of flight. Or it could be shutting down, which is a version of freeze. You might have heard those typical response reactions, fight, flight, or freeze.
So you can see in this example, right, under the stimulus heading, right, he said, no, not now. Under the reaction heading, we could say she felt angry.
That was her feeling.
That was her feeling, and her behavior was to yell. Her behavior also was to just say fine, right? Shut down, withdraw. So those are the two reactions, feeling reaction and a behavioral reaction.
So what we think she is now reacting to, that is what it logically appears, is she's reacting to and upset about the stimulus. Okay, as the arrow indicates here on the screen.
So really get this here. What we think we are upset about is the stimulus. And because we believe we're upset about the stimulus, it inspires us to go after changing the stimulus.
I know, it's logical. You know, whenever we identify a problem, that tells us where to go fix it. And here in this model, we typically identify the problem as the stimulus.
That's what keeps us complaining for change, going after our partner, trying to get them to do something different so we can finally get what we want and feel good. Now, there's actually something else going on here in the middle that is split second fast that we're not even aware of it. And that is, if you'll look at this next slide here, we actually say what's in the middle is something we're making up.
And you might have heard it as any and all of these words, a makeup, a belief, a thought, a story, an interpretation, a conclusion.
So we actually prefer using the word makeup. We make up something about the stimulus. So here, actually do this at the top of your own piece of paper. So make a column kind of like what we have here on the slide, a stimulus, makeup, and a reaction column. So you're gonna have three columns here. And if we were gonna use this model that we just had in this little pretend fight, again, we would put up on the stimulus side, right? He says, no, not now. Her reaction, as we've already said, she's pissed off and she yells. What is she making up in the middle? Well, let's presume she's making up, I don't matter. I'm not important. He doesn't love me. I'm rejected.
And so, and when Sonika says, just to stress that, when she says, what is she making up in the middle? Another way to ask the same question is simply, what does she think that it means? What does she think it means when he says, no, not now. I'm busy with my phone.
So in this model, what we would say she is really upset about, it's not the stimulus. Really what she's upset about is what she is making up. So we would put this, we would put the arrow in a different place, right? She's not upset about the stimulus. She's actually upset about the reaction. There's this really,
I think we have that a little bit later.
Yeah, there's this really great quote that we have here. You go ahead. You're not upset for the reason you think. You're upset because of what you think.
Yep. Because of the makeup that's in the middle, the meaning we add in the middle. Okay.
So the same thing is true in our relationships, right? Like what we think we're upset about is not what we're really upset about. We're actually upset about what we're making up. If I think I don't matter, really, that's what I'm pissed off about. If I think he doesn't love me, that's what I feel hurt about. If I feel like he's rejecting me and I'm not a priority, that's what I'm really mad about.
And you can just think this to yourself. You can test this out pretty easy. Is you can simply think to yourself, I don't matter. My partner doesn't love me. He or she is more interested in their phone than in me and my relationship. He or she is rejecting me. How does that make you feel right as you think that? Terrible, some version of terrible. You cannot think that. You cannot have that meaning in your mind and feel good at the same time.
Well, and if you think about that whole list we did at the beginning with you, right, about all the things that could be going on with him and all the things that could be going on with her, depending on what we make up determines a different course of action and a different set of feelings. You know, if I make up, he's working hard on something, he always makes me a priority, and all of a sudden he's not available, that's going to produce a very different feeling response in me and consequently a different behavioral response in me. So it's not the stimulus that is producing my feeling. It's what I'm making up about the stimulus.
All right. So now we're going to give you the opportunity to work an example of your own. So hopefully you have a sheet in front of you that looks like what you're seeing on the slide, except for blank, of course, but you want three columns: stimulus, makeup, reaction. So first thing to do is think of a stimulus, something that happens, something that somebody says or does or didn't say or didn't do that you have a negative reaction to. Put that in the stimulus column. And a little note about stimulus here, stimuli. You want to be as factual and data-driven, or let's just say objectively factual as possible. So you want to say, he, for example, a stimulus could be, he walked out of the room, instead of, he just abandoned me, or he just betrayed me, or he just ignored me, because those aren't necessarily just stimuli. They have meanings to them. They have makeups in them. So stimulus, pure data, if you can.
Yeah, so you want to think about what is the thing that was said or done that triggers your upset? What's the triggering event?
Yeah, your partner wants to live somewhere else. Your daughter is rude and spoiled. Your dad thinks you're not good enough. Your spouse says no every time you suggest you share something or whatever, anything.
So those could be the triggers, but you want to get it down to the specific stimulus, right? She says, I'm not committed.
He looks away when I try to ask him something.
She says, I'm not enough. You want to get it to the specific stimulus.
All right. So
now we want you to jump to the third column, which is the one-headed reaction. So look first at what is your emotional response to that stimulus.
Just like here in our example, it was angry. Use one of the four words: angry, scared, sad, hurt. Why we use those is they're like the primary colors of negative emotion or of emotion. And when we just stick with those, it's easier not to get it mixed up with the makeups. Because often you'll hear, you know, you'll say something like, I feel betrayed, or I feel misunderstood. But those aren't actually feelings or sensations. What you really feel, the raw sensation, is either sad, scared, angry, or hurt. And you're making up that what it means is you have been betrayed or somebody doesn't understand you.
Yeah, so we recommend you keep it to those four feeling words to avoid accidentally putting some makeups in that third column.
Right. All right, so put down your feeling and then put down your behavior. What did you actually do? Yelling, walk out of the room.
Yeah, call your partner a name.
Yeah, call them anything. Just be honest about it.
And you might have a couple of things, you know, so it might be I yelled and then I left. You know, I called him names and then I. Okay, great. So now that you've gotten the stimulus and the reaction, both the feeling component and the behavioral component, now put in the middle, what are you making up about the stimulus? What are you making up it means that when this stimulus happens? And you might notice that you have several makeups in there. When we do this exercise ourselves, we'll often have, you know, 5, 10, 15 makeups that are happening in a split second from that one stimulus.
Yeah, just so you, just like you see on the screen, it's one stimulus. He says, no, not now. But there's several makeups there. And just to for reiteration, the feeling words we recommend you use, sad, scared, angry, hurt. All right, so that's just another, the blank version here that you can use on your paper.
So we're just going to give you a minute or two here to actually work that through, to write up what are your makeups around this particular stimulus.
And if you can work more than one stimulus, wonderful. Let's see if you can work at least one. Hey, everybody. All right. We're hoping you worked at least one, and we've gotten a couple of requests for putting up the list of behaviors and feelings again. So here, let me just find that on the slideshow here. Going backwards in our slideshow here. Almost there. There. So there are two portions to any reaction, the emotional and the behavioral.
And we'll just tell you a couple of pitfalls to watch for. So stimulus is the actual factual thing that happened that anybody observing would be able to agree on. You've got your emotional feeling, right? One of those four feelings, angry, sad, hurt, scared. And you've got your behavioral response. That is what you do. In the middle, you've got what you're making up about it. When we do this exercise with people, often people are putting their makeups in the stimulus column. They're putting their makeups in the emotional feeling column, right? And they're putting their makeups in the behavioral column as well as in the middle.
And here, let me just go to where we were here. I'll show you the blank one again. So in a stimulus makeup reaction, and this, so if we were using the example we just did with our little demonstration fight here, if I weren't aware of this, how people will just often talk to us when they first come and have problems, right? They'll say about an interaction like that. If we ask them, well, what happened? Well, what should happen is she just came and started yelling at me. She's always nagging at me. And, you know, I was just minding my own business and trying to take care of some stuff here. And she's just all in my face.
He's always on his phone. He never looks up when I come into the room. He never focuses in on me. It's like I'm just not a priority. He freaking doesn't.
That's not what I was
like
doing.
I
was
matter.
Just trying to take care of some stuff here. And then you're like criticizing the heck out of me.
I know. You always have some story about what the heck you're doing that's more important than our relationship and our intimacy.
So notice we're both sharing what, as if this is what happened. We're sharing as if what's coming out of my mouth, that was the stimulus, the factual thing that happened.
But in actuality, there's makeups all over the place in everything we just said.
You're always busy nagging at me. You're always looking for a chance to nag at me.
He never looks up. I'm never a priority. Those doesn't make our relationship important.
Those are all makeups in the middle. Our actual reaction, how we feel. So for me, I'm putting myself in this man's shoes. How the actual feeling is angry. All right. That's the primary feeling. Just the feeling, the behavior, what he actually did was argue back, was defend why I'm doing what I'm doing and trying to say something else to make her understand my point, okay? And my makeups, what I make up in the middle, that's the whole thing I just shared that I think is just what happened. She's always on my back. She's always looking for an opportunity to nag at me. She can't just respect that I'm, you know, busy doing something important, stuff like that.
So it's why we are slowing it down to tease these three aspects out. Because it's a little bit, you know, when we're in a fight, when we have makeups all over the place, we're just going off in reaction at each other. And there is no room in there to create any possibility of change.
It's kind of like,
it's a little bit like a bowl of spaghetti. So it's like a big mess. And this is allowing us to kind of take each strand out at a time and look at it like, whoa, what happened? Wow. I said I wanted to connect. And he said, no, not now. He stayed looking at his phone. He stayed, he kept looking at his phone. He looked up and said, now is not a good time.
Or something like that, yeah.
Right? Specific things that happened. I made up I wasn't important. I made up he didn't care about me. I wasn't a priority. I made up intimacy. He was scared of intimacy or our relationship wasn't a priority.
And notice when you have a couple like us here doing this, one person's reaction becomes the other person's new stimulus. So first, let's just say this sequence here starts with Sonic is saying, I really want to connect. What I do is I look at my phone and I say, not now, it's not a good time, I'm busy with something else. That's her reaction in hearing that is she feels, what would you say you feel?
Pissed off, hurt.
Angry, hurt. Now, her feeling, her reaction becomes my stimulus. My stimulus is her saying, feeling this anger and saying, you'd never care about our relationship. And then I say something defensive, which becomes another stimulus for her. So it's like this zigzag pattern from stimulus to reaction to stimulus to reaction that just takes us down, 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 down fast.
So the first step to being able to sort of take all of this apart and create some room is we've got to first become aware of what are we making up split second fast.
Yeah, that's why this process is like when you said it's kind of like I was going to say another. It's kind of like that it's, you know how when you see a magician do a card trick, that it really looks like they're pulling cards out of thin air. But if you were able to videotape it and then play it frame by frame, slow motion, you would be able to see that he or she has a card up their sleeve or something. You would be able to see what's going on. That's what this model does for your interactions and for the stuff that triggers you. You slow it down enough that you can see, oh, there's this card in the sleeve. That is, oh, there's what I made up in the middle in that split second between the stimulus and my own reaction.
So again, the first step for us is we've got to become aware of what are we making up split second fast. Because once I discover what I'm making up, then I have a place to go. Now let's say a couple of more things here about our makeups. So you might notice in whatever you put in the makeup column that you've probably thought that before. It's probably very old. Hence the word reaction. You know, we are now acting the same that we have reacted before. You know, so we are now playing out a very old story. You know, one of the things I always say is, you know, the stimulus might change, but the makeup remains the same. You know, that there's almost always a recurring theme. You know, for me, one of my recurring makeups in almost every breakdown in my relationship world is I'm not important, right? What I think doesn't matter. And that I'm not important. I don't matter. I'm not going to get the connection that I want.
And I have discovered by doing this that recurringly what I make up in all kinds of various stimuli is I'm not getting it right. I'm being blamed for stuff that isn't my fault. I'm going to screw it up, basically, and I'm going to get in trouble.
Now, under your makeup column, I want you to add two more makeups. So these are common makeups that are in every upset. One is, I'm not going to get what I want. So go ahead and just put that in the makeup column. Whenever we are feeling angry, sad, hurt, scared, we are getting something we don't want, and we're imagining that we're never going to get what we want. There's a makeup that we're kind of set up to be unhappy forever, right? We're not going to get what we want here.
And the other one that you can put in your makeup column, and we're just giving that because from working with ourselves and thousands of people, we see this particular one over and over and over again. We think of them as meta makeups, the one Sonica just shared, and this one. And this one is, I'm not good enough. And it's cousins and variations, which is I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable. All versions of I am not good enough, there is something wrong with me.
Right. I don't matter. I'm rejected. I'm not a priority. Those are all variations of that same thing. So those two makeups are in your makeup column, as well as your special variety of your makeup. Now, one thing that's really great whenever you're in a relationship dynamic, so is to own your makeup. So I can say, wow, when I came in, and wanted to connect, and you said, no, not now. I felt really pissed off. And what I made up about that is I don't matter. What I made up about that is you're not making our relationship a priority. Notice when I own my makeup, I am not making him wrong for whatever he just did.
She's not attacking me, which her first version, it feels like an attack to me, and I defend myself against it. I'm making up it's an attack, and I defend myself against it.
So it's a really great way to communicate with your partner, but you've got to be able to separate out these three things in order to be able to do that. Wow, when you didn't look up, when you didn't stop what you were doing to focus in on being with me, I felt really angry. And really what I made up about that is I'm not important, that our relationship isn't a priority to you.
And when she says, what I made up about that is, it's so much easier to hear. Because she's simply telling me something that is indisputable true, indisputably true, which is what she made up. If I were doing the same thing, I would say, you know, when you kept talking at me and talking to me after the first time I said, now is not a good time, I felt angry. What I made up about that is you don't respect me. You're trying to control my actions, and you don't trust that I want to connect with you, for example.
So it's the first step to taking responsibility. Like, I take responsibility for my part in this interaction of bringing that makeup to the party. I made that up. And what's really great after that, so you might notice when your partner says they're making up something about you that you know isn't true, right? There's a party that wants to rush in with the defense and say, no, that's not true. It is not true that relationship isn't a priority to me. It's not true that I don't respect you or I don't trust you. And we want to rush in with our own point of view. So in this next step, like if you're communicating about this with your partner, you could say something like, wow, I made up that I'm not important. And really what I want is to believe that I am important. Now we get back to bringing in what we talked about in the last class session, where you add in as quickly as possible what I really want. I really want to make this up. I really want to believe this. And why I want to believe that is I want to have this experience. So now I'm moving away from what I don't want to what I do want.
And here we want to show you, when we're talking about stimulus response, we want to show you a really powerful and beautiful quote here on the screen. And here, let me get to where we were before.
This is from Viktor Frankl. And if you haven't heard of him, Viktor Frankl was a man who was in the concentration camps.
I believe he survived full 5 years of concentration camp. He was a psychologist, Austrian psychologist, and from his experience created his whole work and wrote a famous book about his experience. And so here's what he said. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. And when you think about it, Viktor Frankl, this is a man who has lived through probably the worst kind of stimuli, you know, any human being has ever lived through, the Nazi concentration camps. And I always think to myself, you know, if a man who's gone through that can recognize that, wow, my freedom is in that space, there's something I can choose in that space. If he can do that with that stimuli, those stimuli, then I can certainly do it with the kinds of stimuli I'm exposed to in my life and, you know, with my partner in marriage in this case.
And where this quote actually came from is he noticed that people's different responses to their experience in the concentration camp actually impacted their experience, right? What they were making up, like people who were making up that they were going to get out at some point had a different response to their experience in the concentration camp than people who believed it was doomed and they were never going to get out and it was hopeless.
It was his theory that it's all about so much of how we feel and our reality has to do with the meaning we ascribe to things. So his whole therapy, he developed logotherapy, which is the therapy of meaning. That is a whole school in psychology and therapy that he developed from his experiences here and from the work throughout his life. The therapy of meaning, basically. And what we put in the middle, that's another word we could have put in there. You know, we said makeup, belief, story, conclusion, interpretation. Meaning fits right there. It could just as well have been that.
So what is great about recognizing what you're making up in the middle is now you have a place to start to shift your makeup, because that is really your point of power, right? If I want to feel good, instead of going after changing the stimulus, I can instead go after changing what I'm making up about it, change my story about it. So we actually can say that the event or the stimulus equals the stimulus. The event equals the event. The event does not equal what I'm making up. Those are not the same, right? So that means I can shift what I'm making up about the stimulus. So again, think about it. If I make up that our relationship is important to him, therefore, if he's not looking up, it means there must be something pretty important going on. I now can make up, in that different makeup, I can now have a different response. So let's just play that out here. If we were going to do this over, right, where I'm now going to make up something else, what else might I be able to create from that same scenario? Hi, honey. I really want to connect.
Here, cool.
I want to be with you right now.
That's awesome. Here, I'm just really busy with this year for a second, so just let me do what I'm working on here, right?
Well, that must be really important.
Yeah, I think it is.
All right.
So I'm just.
Can I just hug you while you do that? Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, I'll shut up.
All right. Thank you. All right, and I'm just going to. It won't take that long. I just got to. No. All right. Thanks for waiting.
So in that different way of playing this out, right, I'm making up one that I'm important, and I could bring in, again, what we were talking about in the last class session. Well, if I were already connected, how would I be? What would I do right now? If I were important, what would I do right now? Wow, I'd assume I'm included. I'd assume that I matter. I'm just going to sit and put my arms around him and wait so I can move from connection, even if he isn't available in this moment. And notice when I do that, when I move towards what I want and create a different makeup, all of a sudden there's a different possibility for interaction and connection here. I could have done the same thing by saying, you know, if I were connected, how would I be? I'm going to go take care of myself someplace else. In fact, I actually do this with my kids now. You know, when my kids are around, I want to be with them, and they're not always available. They're doing homework, and I can do the same thing. Like, okay, well, if I knew we were already connected and I were filling myself up in another way, what would I go do right now? What would I say? And I come up with things. I go work on my book. I would go practice that new song I'm learning on the piano, right? I come up with a different response that is other than what I would have used to have created, which is being really sad and depressed and making up. I'm never going to have enough time with my kids, and they don't really want to be with me anyway, and I'm not really important.
So we're basically suggesting that what you to try on, and as with everything we teach, we recommend you just try it on. Try it on for a week. You can always throw it out if you don't think it works and go back to doing whatever you had been doing, but just give it a shot. What we're suggesting you give a shot is you look at the same stimulus and then you see, okay, great, what was I making up about that? What am I making up about that? And then after you've done that process, you look at what else could I make up that might produce a better result for me, that might produce a better feeling for me.
Or what do I want to believe? What do I want to believe that is going to produce the result that I'm after? And sometimes a response we get in the face of this is like, well, what if it's true? What if it's true?
Yeah, people say, well, that just sounds delirious. Are you saying I'm just going to trick myself to think that she's really loving and doting on me when she's yelling at me? That sounds like delusional.
So we always say in response to that, well, even if it is true, do you want it to keep being true? Do you want to keep creating that with your speaking? Do you want to keep creating that with your makeups? Do you want to keep creating that by looking for more evidence to reinforce it and to continue to complain about it? Or do you want to create something else? And one way to create something else is to own your makeup and explore what else could I believe about the same exact stimulus that is going to produce a different result. I'll share another example, if I can here, that might help make this a little more clear for you. And that is that I was in a relationship once with someone who used to interrupt me all the time. He used to piss me off, right? So I always felt like, you know, I had no space. There was no room for me to talk, right? This person just interrupted me all the time. And my experience was with this person, I would always like just withdraw and I'd get really pissed off. And then when we would leave an event, I would just blast this person in the car on the way home, you know, about how inappropriate they were and insensitive and unaware and unawake and how they were squishing me and I had no space. That's what I made up. So I did this process. Wow, when this person interrupts, I feel really pissed off, I withdraw. And what I'm making up is there's no room for me here. I have no power. I don't get heard. I don't get seen. So then I said, okay, great. So I don't want to keep having that be true. There was definitely evidence to that. Anybody looking could have seen the same pattern, right? So I was like, you know what? I don't want to make up that there isn't room for me. I want to make up that there's total space for me to be in my power, for me to be heard. So now what I did is I took on, you know what, I'm going to now make up every time I'm interrupted that this is my opportunity to stay in there. This is my opportunity to say, well, wait, I'd like to finish what I'm saying and then be able to say that. And I took on this practice of using every time I got interrupted. So it was really great with this. She was a woman friend of mine. Whenever she would interrupt me, I would be like, okay, this is my chance. This is my chance to be in my power. And I would use it. I'd make up like, okay, here's my chance. She's training me to stay out there. And I started speaking up. And in the course of doing that, after a time, I quit noticing when she was interrupting me. It quit being a trigger point for me. And all that changed was my makeup and my response. Now I didn't need to go after trying to get her to quit interrupting. All I had to do was shift what I made up in my response. And now interruption didn't show up as a problem anymore.
Yeah, great example. So another thing I'll say, another question we often get when we teach this material is along the, well, are you thinking I'm just going to be delusional? Another one is, well, then I'm just going to not do anything about the stimulus. Oh, you're telling me that if I'm looking at something that makes me mad, I'm just not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to make myself happy and that's it. So I want to address that. When you do this, so yeah, I'll use a great example with our kids. So let's say the example is I'm watching our son. Let's say he has an assignment due tomorrow, and I'm observing him at 11 p.m. not doing anything homework-ish about it. So initially, I look at that, That's my stimulus. I feel angry and scared because, well, what am I making up? I'm making up he doesn't care about his future. I'm making up that he's never going to amount to anything. I'm making up that he's going to fail, have to take the whole class over, maybe not even graduate. I'm making up that I'm a bad parent, a bad father for having a kid who does that, and all kinds of stuff. Normally, what I would have used to have done in the, oh, sorry, yeah, I'm making noise here with my arm movements. What I would have used to have done in an earlier time is just go change the stimulus. I have to get him to do the homework. So here I am, I'm triggered, angry, and I go say something like, you know, shouldn't you be doing your homework right now? Jesus, man, it's like, if you know what time it is, you're going to have to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's not going to make it, the homework is not going to finish itself, you know what I'm saying? Or something like that, and we'd get whatever we would get out of that. Typically, it wouldn't be very pleasant for either of us. If I do this process first, slow it down a little. Okay, great. Stimulus, he's not, it's 11 o'clock. I'm not observing him doing homework. How do I feel? I feel angry. My behavior, okay, great. I started basically yelling at him to try to get him to do it. What am I making up? All the stuff I just listed. What could I make up instead that might produce a better result for me? Not for him, for me. This is, I'm doing this for me because I don't like being pissed off and trying to run my relationships from pissed off or scared. Deep breath. What else could I make up? I could make up that he's got it. I could make up that even if he doesn't get his assignment in, it's going to be okay. I could make up that he knows what happens when he doesn't get an assignment in and he can deal with the consequences. I make up that he's got a sound appreciation for what's important in his life to him and what is not. All right. I feel a little better thinking that. You know, I feel more calm. I don't feel like a bad parent. Now, here's the important part. I can still choose, if I think that's the appropriate thing, I can still choose to impose whatever rules or actions I want. It doesn't limit my ability to act. It doesn't limit my ability to give him, to ground him for 2 weeks. I can still go in and say, you need to do your homework right now or you're grounded or, you know, whatever it might be my choice. The point is, if I do so, I can do it now from a point of calm, relaxed, not triggered, not angry. And I promise you, we're going to get a better interaction out of that.
So with the example that you're working, you want to play with what else you could make up. And you're probably hearing some of our makeups in the background. One of the things we make up is that you can make up something else, right? One of the makeups we have is that you can use a troubling stimulus to help yourself grow, right? Just like I did with the, you know, with that friend who was interrupting me. Right? So you want to play with what you could make up that's going to move you in the direction you want to go and allow you to feel better. You know, here's another example. When Christian and I were first dating each other, right? He was living in Denmark. I was in California. So we had a 2-year period there where we were in a long distance relationship. And when we made up that we were living in two different countries and we didn't have a future, we didn't feel good, right? We both felt miserable and sad.
Especially the one that's, we don't have a future. This is not going to work out for us. We're too different and we're living too far apart. I felt sad and scary.
So we really worked with this whole process that we're giving you, and we came up with a different makeup. So the one we came up with was, we actually live in two countries. Right? We have a house in Denmark and we have a house in California.
We have a family in Denmark and we have a family in California.
We have a future that is unfolding.
We are in the middle of an adventure. Our relationship is actually an adventure.
We are meant to be together in some form or another to make a difference for other people.
We made up, even if we don't know right now how it's all going to work out, it's going to work out. That's one of our favorite makeups in life, is we make up that even in situations where we have no idea what's going to happen, we make up it's going to work out okay. And it produces tremendous relief and calm. And we're just better You know, we're better equipped to take whatever action we take from there.
So our makeups, like really another way of saying this is the quality of our relationship is the quality of our makeups. And all a belief is, you could say, is a well-practiced makeup. Right? They are so ingrained that we have been practicing them for so long that it just feels like fact, right? As undeniably true. But as we've been discussing, there is no thing out there that is just true, right? We are always interfacing with reality. We're co-creating our experience of reality. So what we are making up influences what we see, how we move, what we do, the actions we take, and consequently the reactions we inspire in other people. So if we make up one thing, we can make up something else. Since beliefs are held as true, the one way to break apart a belief is to question its validity. Right? This is one of my favorite ways to bust up a belief. So if I have a belief that you don't care about our relationship, one way to break up that belief is to poke holes in it and create doubt by looking for the opposite of what it is I have up until this point been looking for evidence to reinforce.
This is the positive way of the positive use of creating doubt.
Right. So I love Byron Katie and her work. She has this really great question she asks often, which is it true? Can I absolutely know without any doubt that it is true? And almost every time my answer to that question is no. Like, can I absolutely know he doesn't care about our relationship or it isn't a priority?
Can I be totally 100% certain that she doesn't respect me and she's always looking for an opportunity to nag at me? No. Could I poke holes in that? Well, an easy way to poke holes in it is I look for places where it's not true. Are there ever any times where I feel she respects me? Are there ever any times where she doesn't nag at me? Well, yeah, there are those times. Actually, there's lots of those times.
This kind of goes along with the first class, right? Which is now I want to look for what I want to see and reinforce by speaking that. So this is another really great thing you can use your negative makeups for is to look for, okay, well, what else do I want to make up and believe here? And I'm going to take on a project now to look for that and say and express appreciations for that.
Yeah. And another great thing, once you've done your little sheet here, and we're going to encourage you in a moment here, we're going to go through what we suggest you do for homework assignments here. This will be one of them, is you go through your little sheet with stimulus, makeup, reaction, is you simply, you know, if you can be curious and fascinated about yourself, as opposed to judgmental and mad and upset about yourself, just study yourself like you would study a cute animal you don't know anything about. And simply ask of yourself, isn't that fascinating? I just made up that you don't respect me and you don't care about me. I just made that up. I wonder why I believe that. Why do I believe that? Do I believe that? And if the answer is, yeah, I guess I must believe that somewhere. Why do I believe that?
I'll tell you, it really has helped me to know that when Christian has a reaction, that it's only because he's making up something and it isn't necessarily true. You know, often our makeups, as we said, right, they're well-rehearsed beliefs and thoughts that we've been thinking for a long time that we thought for many, many years before we even got together with our current partner, right? And so the same is true for him. Like, he's making up stuff that isn't necessarily true, that is very old. And when I understand this whole piece about makeups, it allows me to have more compassion for him and what he's making up. And I can actually be his partner in helping him also make up something that has him feel better. You know, one thing you can do with your makeups too is just check it out. Is there any truth to this?
Yeah. And actually, we want to give you a caution about this model and this tool. It can be used in two different ways. One is awesome and productive. One, not so much. You can use the awesome and productive one is what Sonika is suggesting. You can check it out. So I could say for Sonika, I'm making up that you don't respect my choices, and you always want to control what I'm doing. Is there any grain of truth to that? So I'll just ask, and you get to, you know, share if that's true. If there's any grain of truth to it or not. That's a good way to use it, especially if you're not in, if you're in the middle of a fight, that's not what you would do, okay? But if you're over breakfast and you're having a good time, that's a good time to ask that when there's a good space between you. What I want to bring a caution about is when you get triggered about something is to try to get your partner to do this process. So it's easy to say, well, you're just making that up. You know, we're in the middle of something. Well, you're just making that up. That's just your story. You might have heard, other people might have told you that already many times. It's just your story. That's just something you're making up. You need to deal with that. You might be accurate about that, and that's not going to produce a result you like.
Actually recommend you never say that.
Yeah, it's really, okay, you do this. That's where there's power. And when you're in a good space, yeah, by all means, use it together. Actually share with each other. If you can be fascinated about what you yourself make up and what your partner or whoever it is makes up too, more power to you. But don't try to use it as a, well, you're just making that up. You need to look at what you're making up.
That will just show up as an invalidation of the other person, and they're going to react back at you around it.
I know, you're likely to have the next, okay, stimulus, reaction.
You know, one of the things we always say about responsibility is it's something to take, it's not something to give. So really to just look at, well, what am I making up? I'm making up that you're making up a bunch of stuff that isn't true about me, is a much better way of taking responsibility than trying to get your partner to look at what they're making up. You can be a partner when you're in a sweet space and say, honey, can I check something out with you? I'm wondering if you might be making up right now that I'm not respecting your choices, or that, you know, I'm just trying to micromanage you. Is that true? Or I'm telling you, you're doing something wrong. You know, that is a way for me to check out something you're making up over there and create an opening or a new possibility for us to be able to move differently with each other.
So here in summary, we'll put this process here up on the screen. So this is a process to simply use. Examine and own your makeups. Investigate the source of what you're upset about by using this formula. And you can always whip out a sheet. You can just do it in your mind, or whip out a sheet and write stimulus, makeup, reaction. Okay, great. Let me do this thing.
We recommend you do it as many times as possible. Every time you get triggered, really become very adept at what is happening, what your response is, and what you're making up in the middle, because that's where you've got tons of power to create a new shift and change in your relationship world.
I know. And then you experiment with changing your reaction by changing your belief. That is, you make up something else. And when you do it, just make sure you come up with one that would feel better to you, but it's got to be close enough to your reality that you can actually believe it. So if I'm making up, for example, if I try to make up in our running example here, it's because she won $10 million in the lottery and she's just so excited and she just bought us a new yacht in southern France. All right, that's so far out, you know, it's just ridiculous. It sounds like unicorns and rainbows and I can't even get behind it. What I could get behind is she really wants to connect. Or, you know, there must be something that she's got going on that's really important to her that she's so insistent. Okay, I could get behind that. I'm gonna try that on. You know, your new makeups, they're just like new clothing. You try them on for size and you'll find out, oh, you know what? This one actually feels quite a bit better.
Once you come up with your new makeup, you could apply living in the question like we talked about last class session. If I believed that, how would I be? What would I do? Right? If I really believed that right now, if I really believed I mattered and our relationship was important, what would I do or what would I say right now? It's a really great way of being able to ground that new belief and back it up with action, which is kind of what I did in the redo, right? It's like, okay, how would I be right now if we're already connected? You know, I just come put my arm around him and be with him while he's in his phone. I can still do something to stay feeling connected, whether it's with him or doing another activity where I'm filling myself up so that I'm available and happy when he is available. It's a really great way to use this makeup is to live in the question of whatever that new belief is you want to come up with.
Yeah, and for the practice, this basically looks like the same you just saw here. One, just practice this for the next week. We recommend you, you know, just take on the experiment for a week. You practice this process, stimulus, belief, or makeup reaction. And then you look for and experiment with better feeling makeups that you could try on. Just that. Simple as that. And I'll tell you, another great tip for how you can make this real for yourself is practice it on other people. So let's just say you go out to lunch one day or you go to work and you see in your office environment, you know, three cubicles down, there's your one of your coworkers is arguing with your boss. Just do it in your mind about them. I know you're just guessing. Think, oh, I wonder what was the stimulus? How is she feeling? What is their behavior that you can observe? What do I think she or he, what are they making up? Just try that with other people. And it'll help you make this process real and fluid for yourself.
I'll tell you, the news can be really entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
You just watch any news commentary, any news, and you can hear makeups all over the place. And I because I know this now, it can actually be very entertaining to watch what different people are making up at different times about different things. Is it true? Who knows? You know, and really what is even more essential is what can I believe and make up that is going to take me in the direction I want to go? Yeah. Remember, a belief is leading you in a direction. Are your makeups, are your old reactive makeups going to take you to where you want to go? Are they going to help you create the relationship you want to create? For me to create the relationship I want, I got to believe I'm lovable, I'm beautiful, right? Instead of I'm not enough, I'm not important. I got to make up that I matter, that I'm a value, right? That's part of identifying myself as my full potential. And I got to make up that I can have what I want here. And that is what, from the last class session, right, I'm going to go from don't want to do want. I'm going to move myself in that direction. And when you put all of these three things together, right, identifying as full potential, right, allowing yourself to go for what you want and making up something that is going to take you in the direction you want to go, you are well set up and on your way to create a different relationship experience for yourself.
Yes. And one more thing. Every time you feel angry, sad, scared, hurt, that's your signal. That's your cue that, wow, I got to be making up something. There's something going on right now that's producing a feeling of angry, sad, scared, hurt. What is that? And could I come up with one that would produce a different result? All right? So go ahead and have the best fun you can with this process as you try it on for size and see what it produces as you do so.
And we look very forward to being with you in our next class session where we are going to be talking about the gift of conflict and how to come up with win-win solutions to some conflicts that feel like they're pretty unresolvable.
Yes.
So we'll look forward to being with you next time. Meanwhile, have fun with this whole process of discovering and making up some good makeups.
I know. Till next time, we look forward to it.
All right. Bye, everybody.
The Risk Course, copyright 2016, Mankind Project USA, all rights reserved. No portion of this material may be reproduced without written permission.